I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 8. And I believe that God has a design and a pattern for every person. And so we're going to start a series tonight about following God's design for your life, or his divine pattern for your life. And when we follow the pattern, that's when we'll have the greatest success. But it's when we deviate from God's pattern and we maybe establish our own pattern or our own way of doing things, that's when we're going to fail. And so we're going to look at some things, and we're going to see how things that God set up in the Old Testament all point to Christ, and that's going to help us follow God's divine pattern for our lives. And in Hebrews chapter 8, we'll begin with verse 1, and I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "Now the main point of what we have to say is this: we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. As officiating priest, a minister in the holy places and in the true tabernacle, which is erected not by man, but by the Lord. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. So it is essential for this high priest to have some offering to make also. If then he were still living on earth, he would not be a priest at all, for there are already priests who offer gifts in accordance with the law. But these offer service merely as a pattern and a foreshadowing of what its true existence and reality in the heavenly sanctuary. For when Moses was about to erect the tabernacle, he was warned by God, saying, see to it that you make it all exactly according to the copy or the model which was shown to you on the mountain. But as it now is, Christ has acquired a priestly ministry which is much superior and more excellent than the old, as the covenant or the agreement of which he is the mediator or the arbiter or the agent is superior and more excellent, because it is enacted and rests upon more important promises. For if the first covenant had been without defect, there would have been no room for another one or an attempt to institute another one." So we know that Moses was instructed by God to design or to build the tabernacle. And he got the plans for that tabernacle by being invited by God to come up to the mountain. You know, remember he spent 40 days on the mountain? I believe he actually, God brought him into heaven and showed him what the tabernacle was like so that he could build it on earth. Okay? And God warned him not to deviate from the design. If you deviate from God's design, whose design are you following? You know, what if Moses said, you know, God, that's pretty good, but I'm going to go ahead and build it this way. Do you think that God's presence would have been down? Do you think that he would have been able to talk face to face with God like he should have been? No. See, he had to build the tabernacle according to the plan that God gave him. And aren't you glad that the plan that God had originated with God? Amen? And he was able to communicate that to a man. Now, if God has had a plan for the tabernacle, don't you think he has a plan for your life, for your family, for your home, for your marriage, for your career? Amen? And God has a divine, he's a divine architect, all right? And the Holy Spirit's the contractor. He makes sure that the plans that are laid out in the blueprint are carried out. Amen? So if you want to know how to follow the blueprint, just ask the Holy Spirit, who's with us. Amen? He brings us into all truth. He's our teacher. He's our mentor. He's our leader. And so God's got a plan for your life. Say, God's got a plan for me. And I will not deviate from that plan. Okay. And the New Living Translation talks about that they serve in a place of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when, the English version says the work they do as priests is really only a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. So what Moses built already existed in heaven. And how many know that God's will needs to be done in heaven, in where? As it is in heaven, right? And through Jesus Christ coming to the earth as man, God put on flesh, and he's known as Emmanuel, God with us. He came to show us and to teach us how to take what's in heaven and live it in the earth. Because isn't that what he did? You know, think about it for just a minute. God Almighty, who was not bound by time or physical limitation or natural laws, he could interject natural law anytime he wanted. He came and he put on flesh, and he experienced everything that a human being experiences. But in doing that, he gained for us what we lost in the garden. And he restored to us so that God's will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's possible to do God's will. Doesn't mean it's always easy. Amen? But it will be worth it if you just hang in there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop doing what God wants you to do. And you may be the only person, but don't let that deter you from doing what God wants to do. Determine in your mind right now that you're going to fulfill God's plan for your life. We all need to get to where Paul was. When he finished his life, he said, I have ran my course. I have finished my course with joy. How many want to finish their course with joy? Well, stick to the plan. Don't call an audible. The coach knows exactly what plan is going to work. He's in the sky view box. He already knows what the enemy is going to do. He's reviewed the tapes of the enemy. He knows what the enemy has in store. He can help you avoid the traps of the enemy. He is smarter than your enemy. He is wiser than your enemy. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. If God be for you, who can be against you? But we must stick according to the pattern, to the plan. How did Moses get that plan? He had a relationship with God. He was in divine communication with God. And he went into the presence of the Lord up on Mount Sinai. And there him and God communicated. And he knew exactly what God wanted. God made his will known. Moses didn't come off that mountain. Now, God, what did you say? He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Amen? Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. So, you know, we're going to look at the tabernacle tonight, and hopefully I can get to where I need to go. But I'm not in a hurry. That's what I love about being a pastor. When I was an itinerating minister, I had to give them all I had in one shot. See, but now I can take my time and I don't have to give you as much. Amen? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 17. Well, let's go back to 16. He's talking about he canceled away and wiped the handwriting. And verse 16 says, let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food and drink, or with regard to a feast day, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Now, feast days and Sabbaths and celebrations, you know, God had certain feast days, he had certain offerings, he had certain things that people had to do in Israel according to the law, right? Now, this is what he says about those things. Verse 17. Such things are only the shadow of things that are to come, and they have only a symbolic value. But the reality, or the substance, or the solid fact of what is foreshadowed is the body of belongs to Christ. Let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire declaring you unworthy and disqualifying you for the prize. Insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, taking his stand on visions, he claims he has seen, vainly puffed up by his sensuous notions and inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceit, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, supplied and knit together by means of its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If then you have died with Christ to material ways of looking at things, and have escaped the world's crude and elemental notions and teachings of externalism, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to the rules and the regulations, such as, and he goes into these, but he's talking about the things that God had Israel do. Every feast, every celebration, every offering, every utensil that they made, it all pointed to one thing, and that is Christ. And Christ is now the fulfillment of everything. He said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And we as Christians, we're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to live like him. Was Jesus worried about anything? No. He didn't worry about lack. He didn't worry about paying his taxes. He didn't worry about feeding 5,000 people. He didn't even worry if someone had been dead for 4 days. And guess what? We're not supposed to worry either. If we really want to live like Christ, didn't he say, cast all your cares unto me, for I care for you? He said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication in the Spirit, let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And, you know, he said, worry is a sin. Because when we worry, we are taking the responsibility of what's happening on ourselves. And how many know that we cannot carry the load as humans? Amen? We're not big enough. We're not strong enough. We need to put our trust in him. Say, Jesus, this is too big for me. You handle it. And you know what? He will. He'll work it out. And he has ways that are higher than our ways. So these shadows, you know, when you see a shadow, what does that tell you? It tells you that something is there, and the shadow is just when light hits something, it creates a shadow, but the shadow is not the real thing. It just tells you that something real is there. And this tabernacle that Moses made was a shadow of the true tabernacle, which is in heaven. All right? And it was built according to a divine design that God gave Moses. Moses took what God said, and he made what God said a reality. And God enabled workers with skill and ability that could craft and design the metal and the fabric and everything, and he gave man the ability to bring into reality what he said. Now that's a revelation. God has given you the ability to do what he said you can do. Just ask Moses, it's not worth arguing what you can't do with God. I can't speak, God, doesn't matter, I made your mouth. But God, I don't know what to say, I'll give you your brother. But God, that's enough, Moses. Why are you telling God something that you can't do when you can do anything that he says you can do? I can do what? All things through who? Through Christ who strengthens me. So, we've got to look at this design. Because if Moses can take the design of the tabernacle and build it, then we can take God's design for our marriage and we can build a marriage that's created in heaven. We can build a career that's created in heaven. I'll tell you what, I love preaching the gospel. But I was not born into this earth saying, "Woo, I'm going to be a preacher." My dad was an insurance salesman and I was very shy. I would hide under the table when visitors would come to visit because I was shy. Look what God can do with a little shy boy who had no ministry experience. But it was my oldest sister. God got a hold of her, and she lived her life to do what God wanted her to do, and she went to the Philippines with YWAM. And I learned from her life that if you do what God wants you to do, you will find blessings along the way. You'll find divine connections. She found her husband in the Philippines who was from New Zealand. Now God took someone from New Zealand and someone from Illinois and brought them together in the Philippines. I saw that happen. And God took another person from Illinois and another person from Guyana and brought them together in Cleveland, Tennessee. So, just as Moses followed the pattern of God, then we can follow the pattern of God and have the success that Moses did. Do you realize that Moses pastored 2 to 3 million people? Their church was so big that they didn't even have a building. All they had was this, they lived in tents and this tabernacle, and God lived in a mobile home. Oh, the tabernacle was designed to move. Amen? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. So don't worry if you started off in a mobile home, so did God. Until he got a permanent one, amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 9. This is the Amplified. He says, seeing that the first outer portion of the tabernacle was a parable, a visible symbol or type or picture of the present age. In it, gifts and sacrifice are offered, and yet incapable of perfection, or incapable of perfecting the conscience, or of cleansing and renewing the inner man, or of the worshiper. So it was according to a pattern. And look at verses 23 and 24. Verse 23, by such means, therefore, it was necessary for the earthly copies of the heavenly things to be purified. But the actual heavenly things themselves required far better and nobler sacrifices than these. For Christ the Messiah has not entered into a sanctuary made with human hands, only a copy and a pattern and type of the true one. But he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the very presence of God on our behalf. So it's a pattern. And go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. In my study, there was two people that received designs for the tabernacle and the temple. Moses and David represented the old and the new. 1 Chronicles 28, look at verse 11. David was talking to Solomon here, and he said, "Then David gave Solomon his son the plan of the vestibule of the temple, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner rooms, and of the place for the ark and its mercy seat, and the plan of all that he had in mind by the Spirit for the courts of the house of the Lord, all the surrounding chambers, the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries for the dedicated gifts." Where did he get this plan? See, it was David who had a heart after God. He was known as a man after God's own heart. And what's one thing you know about David? He wrote most of what book? Psalms. Psalms are songs of praise and worship to the Lord. And while David would be out in the field watching over the sheep, he would begin to play and sing songs to the Lord. And in his times of worship and intimacy with God, God would show him things. Amen? And one of the times, you know, he had a strong desire to build God a house, a permanent residence. David wanted to establish roots for God to be in Israel. Not in a tent, but in a temple that had a firm foundation. But he was disqualified from building the temple because the Lord said he's a man of war and there's too much blood on his hands. But he said Solomon was going to build the temple, but God didn't tell David he couldn't plan or be the architect that God would use to put the plans down in writing. Everything that he gave to Solomon, he had planned, he had received from God, he had received from the Spirit. And you know, David learned how to get God's design in little things. Every battle that he would face, you know what he would do? He would come before the Lord and he would say, "Lord, what do you want me to do in this battle?" He'd say, "Should I pursue this enemy? Or should I stay here? Should I go or should I stay? What do you want me to do, Lord?" He would come before God and he would get his divine design. He would get his strategy to face every enemy. Because how many know that just because you beat an enemy one way last year doesn't mean you can beat the same enemy the same way this year? You must get God's divine design for every challenge that you face. Why? Because God's a creator. He may want to do something different that he did before. You know, thank God that he's not stuck in the mud. Amen? God doesn't do the same thing over and over again because he brings us by a new and living way. He gives us a new nature. He gives us a new way of living. He gives us a new song, a new way to walk, a new way to live. God is into new things. If any man be in Christ, what? He's a what? A new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so David received plans from heaven to build the temple. And not only did he have the plans, but he prepared the means to supply Solomon with all the gold and the metal and everything that he needed to build the temple. So when it was Solomon's time, he had all the stuff that was ready for him ahead of time, and he just built the temple like God spoke to him. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel. Chapter 43. We'll start with verse 1. afterward, the man brought me to the gate that faces the east. Did you know that the entrance to the tabernacle faced the east? Just like it is in heaven. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Just like the pillar of fire and cloud that would come on the tabernacle. And the vision which I saw was like the vision I had when I came to foretell the destruction of the city, and like the vision I had seen beside the river Chebar. And the glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing the east. Then the Spirit caught me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, just like it did when Solomon dedicated the temple that he built. The glory of the Lord came in, and the priest couldn't even stand to minister. See, when you follow God's plan and design for your life, you will have the glory of God coming in. And when the glory comes in, woo, it quickens things. It makes things less of a burden on us, and things just seem to happen. They just seem to fall in place when the glory of God comes in. But we must do it according to the design. Any deviation from the design of God will lessen the glory. Okay? Verse 6, and I heard one speaking to me out of the temple, and a man stood by me, and he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name, the house of Israel, shall no more profane, neither they nor the kings nor their idolatrous monuments of their kings, nor by setting their threshold by my thresholds and their doorposts by my doorposts, with a mere wall between me and them. They have profaned my holy name by their abominations which they have committed. Therefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their harlotry and dead bodies and monuments of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. Now look at verse 10. Son of man, show the temple by your description of it to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, then, and let them measure accurately its appearance and plan. And if they are ashamed of all they had done, make known to them the form of the temple and the arrangement of it, its exits, its entrances, the whole form of it, all its ordinances, and all its forms and its laws, and write it down in their sight, so that they may keep the whole form of it, and all the ordinances of it do them. This is the law of the house of the Lord. The whole area about the top of the mountain, Mount Moriah, shall be most holy, separated and set apart. Behold, this is the law of the house of the Lord. So if when we understand the divine arrangement and the divine design of things that God places in our life, and we go according to his design, we'll be purified. See, he said the people were profaning, but in order to stop the profaning to occur, he said, describe to them the temple. Write down the plan. Show them the plan of the temple, and that'll purify them. When someone has a dislocated joint, what does it do to the person? It causes pain. That pain signifies that something is out of order. And so what they do is they have to set that bone back in the right place so that it'll grow back together. And the setting is not an easy place, but once it's set, then you just keep it in place. Like if you break a bone or something, you put a cast on it to keep it in place. See, when things in our lives are out of order, we have to go to the master plan to see where we're not following it, to see what we're not doing, to see whether or not where we're missing it. Because really, a basic definition of sin is to miss the mark. to miss the mark. And what is the only standard to show us that our wall is crooked? The plumb line. Amen? What is the only thing that can guide your way through a dark passage? The light and the lamp, the compass. So anytime that things are not working like we think they should be working, we must go back to the master plan to see if we're following it accurately and correctly. That's why God, He gave us a book to follow. Aren't you glad that God didn't expect us to memorize every single thing that He told us? Because every test that you face is an open book test. You can refer back to the book to get the answers to pass the test every time you have a test in your life. And every time you go back to the book will never lead you astray, but the book will give you the right way, the right answer every time. It's faithful, it's right on, it never misses its mark. Because God wants us to follow His divine pattern for your life. And how God designed one person is not how He designed another person. He has different designs for different people because we're different. Thank God for God's variety. Thank God for His diversity. And don't, see, sometimes we miss it because we try to put someone else's design on us. Isn't that right? Oh, I wish I was like so-and-so. You know, when I went to college, it seemed like every minister that spoke in our chapel could sing. And I couldn't sing, and I began to think, God, am I even called? And then I read, you know, make a joyful noise, and that encouraged me a little bit. And then rap music came along, and God used me in rap. I'll rap for you sometime, but not tonight. See, the law of God's house purifies God's people if they follow His pattern and arrangement of things in their life. God, I don't like it here. It's too tough. Well, maybe there's something that you need to learn in that tough place. Quit complaining. Every time Israel complained about how tough it was in the wilderness, God's wrath came on them because it was God's plan for them to develop character in the wilderness, and every time they complained, murmured, or grumbled, they deviated from His plan, from His design. And every time they deviated from the design, destruction followed. Why were you created? You were created to worship and serve God, period. Anything else is just a bonus or an extra. Nothing in this world will make you complete. No person, no thing, no good, no position. Only Jesus Christ makes you complete. Was there anything that could deviate Jesus from doing God's will? Was He tempted? Yes, He was. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit was the one who led Him into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. If you're the Son of God, Satan tried to put doubt in who He was. But you know what? He always reverted back to the master plan. He said, it is written. And once He said, it is written, the enemy couldn't argue about that anymore. That was a settled point. The minute you speak God's word, Satan knows he's defeated. But if he can get you not to speak the word, then he can mess you up. If he gets you into the realm of the flesh, and you go by what you feel and what your emotions tell you, Satan's got you beat. But if you stay in the Word and you stay clothed with the armor and you stay in the spirit, you'll whip him every time. You don't have to turn there, but Exodus 25:9 says, Moses was to make a tabernacle according to God's plan. Exodus 25:40, Moses was to copy the pattern or blueprint that God gave him. Exodus 26:30 says, you shall erect the tabernacle after the plan of it shown you on the mountain. And Moses was called up to the mountain to see and hear God's plan. Moses was invited to the penthouse of heaven. It'd be like in the natural, if you want to build something in New York, Donald Trump would invite you to his office, since he owns a large portion of New York. He's built more buildings there than, I'm just using that as an example. But you see, Moses had a divine appointment with God. Do you know anybody else that received a plan in great detail that God gave, took him about 100 years to build? You know, his name was Noah. Do you think Noah sat down one day and said, you know what? I'm going to build myself a boat. You know, I've never built a boat. No. Well, we know, what are some things we know about Noah? He found grace. That means Noah made it a practice to come before God. Because you know where you find grace? When you go before the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. And Noah went before God, and God told him it was going to rain. Do you realize it had never rained up to that point in Noah's day? He didn't even know what rain was. And God says, I want you to build a boat. And God gave him great detail. The kind of wood, the size, the dimensions, the pitch, how he was going to gather the animals, supplies that he was going to need. God didn't leave anything out. And Noah, in his faithfulness and in his diligence, he followed that plan for 100 years. Why did it take him 100 years? Because no one else helped him except his family. How'd you like to preach for 100 years in a church and only get 8 converts? That's including you. Because we know from Jude, or the New Testament, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But he didn't get anybody saved but his family. Well, no, he saved the whole earth. He built an ark of safety. And if it wasn't God giving him a divine plan to do that, he could have never accomplished it. He didn't know what rain was, but God said it was going to rain. He said, I don't know what it is, but I believe you. You know what? You don't have to know every little detail. The secret things belong to God. If there's a detail that he hasn't shown you, there's a reason. Just leave that into his hands. Say, okay, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. How'd you like to be Lazarus? Sitting in a, you know, being dead for 4 days and all of a sudden get a call. Lazarus, yeah, come forth. Okay. Lazarus got a call off the bench. In a sense, Lazarus was bench warming. He wasn't in the game. He had been out for 4 days, dead. But because Jesus operated according to God's divine plan, what was God's divine plan? Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and more abundantly. He was the author and the source of life. So anytime Jesus spoke, life was produced. And so he followed God's divine plan. Do you know that he even waited 4 days before going to see Lazarus, who was his close friend? There was a reason for that too. See, when you're operating according to God's divine plan, you'll never get impatient. Because you know that the execution of the plan will bring success. Did God give Joshua a plan on how to defeat Jericho? He told a military man to march around the city and don't do anything for 6 days. But God, I want to fight. I want to kill. I want to destroy. No, you don't do anything. Okay? But then on the seventh day, I want you to march around the city 7 times, and on the 7th time, I want you to shout. But God, I want to fight. No, I want you to shout. See, Joshua was a soldier. He fought many military campaigns. He helped Moses defeat the Amalekites when Moses' arms were raised. Moses would call on him every time they faced an enemy. And he could have thought, well, I know how to fight. I'm just going to fight how I know. Really? Then you might lose. What if Israel would have spoken during the 6 days, in one of the 6 days around Jericho? That city wouldn't have fallen. They had to stick to the plan. In other words, you have to stick to the word that God gives you. Inheriting God's promises and experiencing their benefits, that was a word that God gave me back in the 90s. When he first gave that to me, I didn't know what that meant. I just wrote it down. See, that's the thing that you got to do. You may not understand it, but just write it down and put it on the shelf, and God will show you what it means when it's time. It may not be for right now. It was years. And then God started to show that to me. And now it's a reality. I'm doing what God spoke to me back in the 90s. It's 2009. That's, what, 17 years, right? Yeah, math wasn't my greatest subject. History was. I'm doing what God spoke to me 17 years ago. I'm leading people into their inheritance. God's got a word for every one of you, a plan, a design, something that he's created only you to do, that only you can do. And if you just stick with the plan, you'll be a great success. He told Joshua, and I'm going to close. And I didn't even get to any of the parts of the tabernacle, but we will. He told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." In other words, speak the word and meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success, but it's based on you speaking the word, meditating the word, and doing it, the word. Don't do your opinion. Don't do what others tell you. Do what God tells you. Do you realize that they told the disciples not to preach about the resurrection or preach in Jesus' name? You know what their response was? Should we obey men or God? They said, oh, we're going to obey God. You can put us in jail. You can beat us. They rejoiced over being beaten. Can you imagine that? They were beaten, and they went rejoicing. They counted themselves worthy to be beaten for Christ, because they followed the plan that they got. So, said a whole lot of things that I didn't intend to say, but the Holy Spirit was doing something. You can follow God's divine pattern for your life. And I fully intend to help you in any way that I can. I'm going to give you what the Word says, and then it's up to you whether or not to do it. Amen? Because you are a success going somewhere to happen. Some of you are a revival going somewhere to happen. You've got a call of God on your life. You're called to preach the gospel, and God's going to use you. Just do what he says do. Jesus, he fulfilled the law in every respect. He did not deviate from the law. He fulfilled it in every respect. And he turned out okay, didn't he? So you will too. But determine in your heart right now, Father, I just pray over these right now, Lord, that they are doers of the word and not hearers only. But Father, they act on what you say, irregardless of what they feel, what they think, or what others tell them. Lord, I just give you thanks and praise that we do what you want us to do. Father, we're filled with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you in all things and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with might. And I thank you, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name, amen.